This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Marcus Winters, a senior fellow at the Center for Civic Innovation at the Manhattan Institute. We want to get his reaction, since he is an education policy expert, to President Obama's claim that kids need to spend more time in school. And that could mean a shorter summer vacation, it could mean more time after school, and even time on the weekends to make sure we're competitive with the rest of the students around the world. And Marcus, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
The president and his education secretary say that the 180-day school year, which is the standard around the country, was designed during an agrarian time when kids needed to be on the farms to help with the harvest and the planting and so forth. And that's not obviously a major concern for most kids around the country these days. So they say we can spend more time in school. Is that going to make a huge difference in our performance?
Well, it's hard to know for sure, but I would say that the idea of expanding the time that students spend in school and spend in the classroom is an appealing reform. I mean, we do know from some research, for instance, on charter schools, that one of the successes that charter schools have had, or one thing that they point to for their success, is that they tend to have longer school days and keep their students in school longer. So there is reason to believe that is a positive education reform. On the other hand, it's also a potentially relatively costly one, and also a reform that might be politically difficult to move forward on.
Explain both of those last points right there, why it would be costly and why it would be difficult politically.
Well, I mean, the obvious reason it would be costly is that, you know, the longer the students stay in school, the more you have to pay for them to be in school. So the longer school years mean paying teachers to be there longer. It means paying, you know, for the entire school system to operate on longer school days and throughout longer school years, which costs resources for a variety of reasons, probably the largest of which being paying teachers to do this. And also, that speaks to the political problem as well, which is that for most school systems, the length of the school year is part of the collective bargaining agreement with the teachers, and so they won't do this for free, they won't work these extra days and longer hours, and cutting the days and keeping the hours short is something that is they fought for in their collective bargaining agreements for quite a while.
We're talking with Marcus Winters of the Manhattan Institute. Marcus, in addition to the contention that the U.S. spends less days in school per academic year than most other countries, which is true to some extent, it also, according to the research, shows that despite the fewer days, American kids actually get more instruction time than most of these countries that are mopping the floor with us on these standardized tests around the world.
Well, we do get plenty of instruction time. Other kids spend more days in school, as you suggest, and they also do get plenty of instruction time as well. I mean, another difference between us and other countries is that we spend a great deal more per pupil than other countries do. So I think, you know, there are a lot of issues in the school system. One of them is the amount of time students spend in school, and we could probably see some benefits there if we increase the amount of time. But there are other aspects in our school system that deserves some attention as well, including how we use the large resources that we already spend on the school system.
Marcus, what about the burnout factor for both, actually? Students perhaps needing a break, and I know from being married to a teacher, in addition to knowing several teachers, that by the time you're getting to May and June, they're basically running on fumes. If you were to push them another month or so, how much quality would you get out of both the students and the teachers?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, taking, you know, these programs to scale is, I think you're hitting on that big problem. So, like I said, you know, for instance, you know, Caroline Hoxby just has a study out on charter schools in New York City, where she finds huge benefits of students attending charter schools in New York, and finds that a big part of the reason for that is likely that they spend longer days in school. But that said, that's a smaller population of both students and teachers, so they can, and charter schools can recruit teachers who are willing to put in extra hours and the like. And what happens when the whole public school system moves in that direction? And you're right, I mean, burnout of teachers is something to think about. Burnout of students is potentially something to think about as well, though I personally would be a little less worried about that. But yeah, I mean, it's something that we wouldn't know unless we tried this at a larger scale. And again, if you were going to do this on a large scale, you'd have to find a way to compensate teachers and the rest of the school system for doing this.
Marcus, you also mentioned that if it's going to happen, usually the length of the school year, which is pretty standard around the country, is determined in local collective bargaining sessions. So if the president were to push forward with this, is this something that he could mandate federally or something that would have to be negotiated district by district?
You know, I think he'd have a hard time mandating it federally. And actually, you can say that about a lot of the reforms that the Obama administration is in favor of. So, for instance, expanding the number of charter schools, that's something I think is a very good thing and something that the president and Secretary Duncan have talked about. But it's something that's hard to do at the federal level because this is really a state and district-wide policy. And also you have collective bargaining agreements of teachers, which are done at the state and local district level as well. I do think it is something that would be difficult to be done at the federal level. I mean, not just the number of days, but even potentially more importantly, the number of hours that teachers are allowed to work in a given day. That's almost always covered in a collective bargaining agreement.
Marcus, we have a couple minutes left, and my guess is your answer to this question could take a while if you were to really get into the details. But what's the major reason why our students, especially when it comes to math and science, don't perform as well as some of the students in the other industrialized nations?
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, that could potentially be a very long answer, but I think the short answer is we know from a wide body of research that the single most important factor within a school's control to explain student proficiency is the quality of the classroom teacher that's in front of them. And we know not only that teachers are very important, but that the difference in quality from between one teacher and another can be very, very large. For instance, the difference between a student being assigned to what we would call a good teacher, so the 75th percentile or above, or a bad teacher, so about the 25th percentile or below, is about a year's worth of learning for that child. And that's a consistent finding in previous research, which is why I think, you know, the Obama administration and others across the country are many of the reforms that we're taking seriously now have to do with altering the quality and better incentivizing teachers and finding ways to get better teacher quality in the classroom so that they can, because they're the ones with direct access to children and the ones who make the biggest difference.
How hard is it to get rid of the bad ones?
Very, very hard, which is one of the things that, you know, this president has talked about and that the states have talked about, but it's also a very difficult problem to solve. One of the big troubles with education today, I think, is the way that we handle teacher quality. So in order to become a teacher, you have to, for the most part, you have to attend an education college to be certified. You get into school, into a public school. You teach for about 3 years, and then you receive tenure, at which point you really can't be removed for any reason. The trouble with the system is that we have no reason to believe that what teachers learn through the certification process makes them better teachers. And we know, and what we've learned from prior research is that we're very bad at predicting who is going to be a good teacher and who's going to be a bad teacher until they've been in the classroom for about 3 or 4 years. The trouble is that the way that we assign tenure has nothing to do with any measure of the quality of the teacher and the quality of their performance in the classroom. And then we make it very difficult to remove teachers who are not doing a good job, which is precisely the wrong system given what we know about teacher quality in the U.S.
Marcus, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Marcus Winters is a senior fellow at the Center for Civic Innovation at the Manhattan Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.